Welcome to the Writer's Weekly Podcast, a forum geared toward the writing enthusiast and those who want to make money from their writing. I'm Brian Whidden, Managing Editor of Writer's Weekly, and I'll be your host along with Angela Hoy, the creator of Writer's Weekly and President and CEO of BookLocker.com, a full-service book publishing company. Whether you want to learn how to become a professional writer, how to find writing gigs, or even publish your own book, then you come to the right place. We'll be discussing all kinds of topics relating to the writing and publishing industries. Don't forget, you can also click over to writersweekly.com. There, you'll find not only thousands of articles about professional writing, you can also find current paying markets and job listings to help you boost your writing career and even your bottom line. But for now, let's get on to this episode of the Writers Weekly Podcast. Episode of the Writers Weekly Podcast. I'm Brian Whidden, and with me is Angela Hoy.
I made it.
And Angie has decided she's going to come up with a different response each time I introduce her on
every
episode.
Wish me luck.
Good luck with that. Yeah.
Pull out my thesaurus or something.
I know. Home office this week. 4th of July.
Yeah.
Had lots of family over here.
Yep. And lots of food.
And friends.
And noise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mayhem. Chaos.
So we had the grandkids, all three of them.
Mm-hmm.
And
Daughter and son-in-law. The two youngest boys.
Then a friend from up the street, one of Max's friends from his welding shop.
Yeah.
A little bit of everybody came out here. And we had fireworks.
Our son, Max, went into Chattanooga and bought some big ones.
Max really likes fireworks.
He will
not hesitate to spend a good grand on fireworks.
He makes a lot of money as a welder.
So we had them down in the backyard setting off fireworks.
And we have a big open grassy area, quite big, probably an acre maybe.
Yeah,
and back there. Yeah.
And our grassy 1 acre is surrounded by woods.
Yeah.
And
we hadn't had any rain in like 5 days or something.
Several of the fireworks did just fine, but then for some one package he opened up, just every time one went off, it sent all these little burning embers down, and they didn't go out before they hit the ground.
And they went into the woods.
And they were going into the woods.
And so the one that really scared me was, it, you know, it exploded really high in the air, but then it had those little wispy things that just kind of, you know, rained down the... It was supposed to look like that.
Well, it was real pretty.
Yeah, and then...
Until it hit the woods.
Well, not only that, but we were getting hit by shrapnel on the porch.
That too.
An upstairs porch, and, you know, one went off, and something hit me in the leg.
Stuff was coming down from the sky.
And, we're getting rained on by stuff. It wasn't hot, but, you know, they felt like they were metal. Anyway... So that one with the wispy, waspy things coming down, all those sparks were hitting the ground. We have a little forested area right by our driveway. Went all in there. Went into the woods, side woods, the backwoods. It was everywhere.
And
that's
from
when I said,
10 feet away, I could feel Angie's anxiety.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I said, okay, boys, you're going to have to save these for another day when we've had some rain. They already had, Brian, you had dragged the hose out there, big long length of hose, and they had a sprayer, and it was already on. Max started soaking the entire yard and our little cluster area by the garage.
Yeah, but that hose don't reach all the way into the woods. We have 5 acres, so most of that's woods.
Yeah, and it was 11 p.m., and you were exhausted. You got up early, and we're preparing everything, getting the burgers all patted up and everything. So 11 p.m., you're about ready to go to bed, and then you do what?
But that didn't stop you from sending me down into the woods on my four-wheeler to go search for any hot spots or potential fires starting up.
Mm-hmm.
And
being
the amazing husband that I am, I agreed to do that. And I got to tell you, going down into our woods at night, now when I got all my lights on and everything, I feel just fine down there. But to see a small fire starting, you can't have a bunch of lights on. So I'd go down the trail a little bit and then shut all my lights off to look around, see if I see any any little flames or smoke or anything like that. And uh, I
I know what's down in those woods because I've had game cams down there for quite some time. And it is damn spooky when you go down there and shut off all of your lights and you're in pitch black looking around.
Let's go down a list of what's down there. There's snakes.
We've had a bear.
Bear.
We have a mountain lion.
Yeah.
In this area.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, now, I got a game cam video of a smaller mountain lion playing around with a mouse.
Yeah.
But down the hollow from us, somebody else has gotten game cam photo of a full-sized mountain lion.
Yeah.
And they ain't small. And we hear them scream at night.
Yeah.
And I don't want to run into one of those things.
Yeah. And
especially in the dark.
Foxes.
There's foxes.
Coyotes.
There's bobcats.
Oh, enough raccoons.
There's enough raccoons to drag
rip
you away.
Apart a metal deer feeder. Yeah, those are scary.
So, I mean, even though during hunting season, I have been known to stroll down there, you know, at 4 a.m. to get up in my stand and wait for sunrise. But I tell you, you're on a four wheeler and the engine's going, but you shut off all those lights. You can't hear anything coming
your way.
I
didn't think about that.
And you got all, and it's summer, so all the trees are full and all this foliage, and it's spooky down there.
So then you came back. You were able to go to bed. Everybody else went to bed. I put my glasses on and sat on the upstairs porch for another 2 hours.
Did you?
Staring out at the woods just to make sure something wasn't going to start.
Girl, you need some Xanax.
Man. Hey, you know, I'd rather do that than have all the neighbors sue us for burning down the entire neighborhood.
Well, there's that. I mean, you know, I don't know. We could, you know.
I think it was a good investment.
Just say we didn't know how it started. But then again, we were the only ones firing off fireworks, so... there was a one thing Max got was a string of 2,000 firecrackers.
Oh yeah.
And he started unrolling that on the porch, and I'm like, they're all wrapped in red paper. And you know, as a kid, I fired off firecrackers. I know what they leave behind. I'm like, you are not shooting that off in my yard, no, because I don't want to. So we took it down the street to. The I guess it's a cul-de-sac in front of one of our neighbor's house. The neighbor's son was over here hanging out with
us.
He's
the one in the army.
He's like, yeah, sure, let's go on over there and shoot off in front of my house. And let me tell you, those things were impressive. I mean, it lasted a good, I don't know, minute and a half.
And his mother was not home at the time. She was at church, and she was going to come home and find... How much?
Well, after we fired them off, well, they weren't in the yard. They were out on the street, but we did sweep it because there was red paper everywhere and spent firecrackers everywhere. 2,000 of them.
That was nice of you.
So we grabbed some brooms and swept them up. And
we could actually hear it from here.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, they were loud. Yeah. My ears were ringing. So that was our 4th of July. It was fun.
It was fun.
And, of course, everybody leaves. They take some of the leftovers, but nobody took any of the 4 cakes that were here. So,
our son
and you won't eat any cake, so now I'm stuck. Yeah, I have to eat all this cake by myself.
I think you'll be fine. Our son-in-law's sister is a professional baker, and she sent 2 cakes. You bought a cake.
Mm-hmm.
And then our daughter made a 4th cake. So, yeah, you can do it.
Your family overdoes it with the food.
I know.
I'm serious.
Oh, well, son-in-law was previously an executive chef, and our daughter was previously...
She was a pastry chef.
Pastry chef, thank you. Yeah. She was a pastry chef. So when they come over, we don't have to cook.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And they do their own dishes, so...
Okay, so this week's episode, we decided to do the scammers are still out there, but we decided to do a little new little twist here. Instead of just talking to you about the problem, we wanted to share with you some of the emails that we get from the victims of these scammers so you can hear in their own words what they're going through with some of this stuff. And along with this, we are definitely going to comment on what could have been done different and what you can do to prevent this from happening to you. So I think this will be a good episode.
And it's heartbreaking. Some of the stories are heartbreaking. You know, some of these people were driven to bankruptcy. They were scammed so badly. And we want to thank them. We're not mentioning anybody's real names.
Nope.
But we want to thank them for reaching out to us because we can all learn from their mistakes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before we start, there's I'd like to offer some advice, very general advice, but if you follow this advice, you can cut your chances of being scammed greatly,
yeah.
Probably more than 50%, I would
probably
say.
More than that.
Far more than that, because, and a lot of it's just common sense.
Yeah.
Number one, before you do any of this stuff, once you've gotten your book all ready to go and you're ready to publish it, leave your emotions out of all this. Stop worrying about the world reading your words of
right
wisdom.
Now. Doesn't need to happen right now.
It. I hate to say it. I know it's very special to you. I've written a book. Angie's written 2,026 of them, I believe.
26.
Okay. Yes, it is a very special moment when you finish that book and you start imagining it in print, on shelves, people buying it, this, that, and the other thing. Yes, I get it. But when you start letting those emotions drive your actions, you will fall into a pit.
There's also
if you're not careful.
Ego factor.
Well, that's the whole thing, the emotions and the ego.
And the problem is these scammers are so good at stroking an author's ego, telling them how great their book is. Of course, it's all generalized words that they use. They never actually describe the book. But they will make you feel like a rock star and that like you, that you're their best friend. And that's how they convince a lot of people to hand over their money.
Whether you like to think of it this way or not, doesn't matter. The fact is, this is a business.
Yeah.
You are trying to, even if you're not publishing your book to get rich. Okay, fine. I get it. But you want to try to get that book out there and published with minimal cost, mm-hmm. maximum quality, to a level that you're going to hopefully make that, at least make that money back in
yeah.
sales. The more you spend on getting the book out there, with all kinds of flashy promises and fancy marketing schemes
scam services.
And all this stuff, the longer it's going to take you to ever make that money back. And to be perfectly honest with you, most authors don't make that money back.
Unfortunately, authors that truly promote their books,
yeah.
they'll get their money back depending on how much they spent, of course. They had to sign up with a good company that didn't charge them an arm and a leg. But more often than not, these authors are spending hand over fist. The scammers keep saying, send us more, send us more, send us
yeah.
more. They never end up with a book to sell at all.
Well, yeah.
They get
none
of their money back.
A lot of them
yeah.
don't.
Yeah.
We have several authors who have come through BookLocker, and they simply paid for the publishing package.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really offer too many frills, so they didn't buy any frills. They didn't pay anybody for their, their marketing. What are they? Marketing
they've
scheme
come up with
and all
you,
that.
You have,
whatever.
Sky's the limit on the joke services.
And
they
have made their money back and then some because they started hitting the pavement and getting online and promoting their book and finding creative ways. I point you to Gary Sturgis, which I think was episode 11. I mean,
Go to writersweekly.com/podcast and you can see when he was one of our guests. He is currently our best-selling author, and he made
a business out of his books
into a business, and he is doing very, very well.
Yeah,
yeah. And he's rock and roll, man. He just goes for it.
He basically paid to have the book published.
And
That's
we
it.
Give all of our booklocker.com authors a free copy of 90 plus days of promoting your book online and a free copy of 55 do's and don'ts about book promotion, 55 do's and don'ts of book promotion. He read those books and he said that really spurred him to go and helped him be successful. And again, BookLocker authors get free copies of both of those books.
So stop and think before you spend your money. Because the world's not going to end tomorrow if people don't have your book to read.
Right then, yeah.
Right then.
Right.
You spent however long you spent to write that book, there's still plenty of time to get it published.
Yeah, and to do it the right way.
If you get in a hurry, then you're going to want, you can easily fall prey to these scammers.
Yeah.
Then, do your research.
Yeah.
Take the time. If you find a company you think you like, then start looking into them. A great tool out there is Google.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, everybody can access it.
Do you know how I search each scammer? The first thing I do is get on Google. I copy and paste the website URL, not the HTTP part, just the name.com, okay, with the words reviews and complaints. And what will pop up is Trustpilot will pop up. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, you can't trust any five-star reviews on Trustpilot. I was looking
Don't trust Trustpilot.
No, we've got an article about that on Writers Weekly, and I'll post a link to that under this episode on writersweekly.com/podcast. I was looking up a company. A woman wrote to me and said, is this company a scam? I could tell from the design of the website because they all basically look the same. We think it's three or four companies. They all basically look the same. And then I went to Trustpilot. They had 6 5-star reviews posted on the same day.
Yep.
No way. They're all fake.
And a couple of scammers have even used Trustpilot now to attack us.
Yes.
And we've had to battle to get their one-star ratings and complaints about us down by proving that, no, these are scammers. These are the actual scammers that we are fighting against to try to shut them down, and now they're trying to shut us down.
Yeah, they're going after Writers Weekly, which is ridiculous. Yep.
You can also go on Google, and you just put the name of the company and the word scam.
Yeah.
See what you find.
Yeah.
Now, is everything you find true? Not necessarily,
but
if you keep seeing more and more and more and more people writing into these review sites or these, there are sites where people just complain about stuff. I can't remember
Reddit's a big one.
Reddit,
see a lot of complaints on Reddit, but also
Ripoff Report. That's one of them.
Yeah. Also, need to keep in mind that these scam consortium, they are going after legitimate publishers, and posting false negative reviews about them.
Yes.
If you're creative, put on your creativity hat, you can probably figure out if the review is fake or not. For example, they went in, one of the scammers posted a fake one-star review about Writers Weekly saying that Brian and I were extorting these scammers and telling them to pay us $4,500 to $6,000 and we would remove
to take
them from
down
our website.
An article we wrote about them.
That,
yeah,
that is, it's we have like, never done that.
Sorry, no amount of money is going to get us to take your article down. No, absolutely. And they're not even offering us money. But
we never even got offered that, but they went in and literally accused Brian and I of extortion. Yeah. And Trustpilot took that down because I clicked to flag it and they contacted the person, and the person was supposed to send me their name, address, phone number, etc., so I could prove we hadn't done business with them. They never responded to Trustpilot, and then Trustpilot made me flag it one more time. Boy, you got to jump through hoops to get them to remove one-star review. Yeah. But they just leave those fake 5-star reviews up there forever. Mm. So you got to be really diligent and creative when you're reading those things, and don't believe every negative review. However, the 1-star reviews on Trustpilot are far more trustworthy than the 5-star reviews. I don't trust Trustpilot's 5-star, 5, 4, and 3-star reviews. Yeah. Just look at the 1-star reviews. That's all you need to look at.
Then you can head over to the Better Business Bureau. Now, the company you're looking for may have nothing on there, and that's fine, but they may have 5, 10, 15 complaints from people on there. They may have an F rating, as one of these scammers that we read about in these emails did have.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's one more place to look. Then go over to writersweekly.com and look at Angela's article on 11 steps you can take to avoid scammers. And we will post the link to that.
Yeah.
In the description of this podcast. And then you can also, it's a publishing company, something I did today just to make sure I wasn't making a fool of myself on the podcast. I went to Amazon, went to the search bar, and to the left of the search bar, you can select what section you want to search in, and I pulled up books, and then I wrote Book Locker. And when I clicked go, guess what popped up? Whole bunch of our books.
Yeah.
Now, if you're looking at a company and you type their name into Amazon, and all you got to do is when it comes up with a list of books, from your search, you click on any book you want, and as soon as that page pops up, just under the book description, you'll see a list of little details, and one's got a little picture of a building, and it says publisher, and it says the name of the publisher.
Yeah.
And every one of our books says Book Locker.
Yeah.
And that way you can verify that, yeah, we do have a whole bunch of books on Amazon that we published.
You can also click on advanced search on Amazon and specifically search for that company's name. in the box for publisher.
Because several of these scam companies are going to have a bunch of books on their website with titles on them and everything. And if you actually take the time to go to Amazon and pull up those books, you're going to find that that publisher probably didn't even publish them.
Oh, yeah, in almost every case.
Or they don't 99%
exist. 99% of the cases. Yeah. Or the books don't exist at all. They're faked book covers on their website.
Yeah. So those are just the few things you can do, and that all that will take you less than an hour.
Oh.
And 1 hour could save you thousands of dollars that a scammer will take from you just by doing a little bit of research.
Yeah, and once you've looked up a couple, you can probably get that system down to like 5 minutes for each one. You can just tell.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. You want to? I highlighted several of the things on this first one because it's kind of a long email here.
Okay.
I feel I'm being scammed in a huge way by a publishing company, quote unquote. Basically, they're saying that every time they talk to them, they ask for another bunch of money.
Multi thousands of dollars.
They basically pressured me to get a web page for a lot of money. Then after that, they claimed, okay, we set up your website, but then they call back and they said, oh, well, it won't do any good unless you also pay to activate this or that or the. So once they kind of baited this person in. Mm-hmm. With the flashy website, and they say, oh, well, the website won't work unless you pay for this extra thing, which is
to
total
activate it.
BS.
You gotta pay extra
activation
the website.
Fee.
And so this is classic upselling.
Yeah.
Every phone call, oh, now we need money for this. Now we need more money for that. It's just like the old sweepstakes. You won the sweepstakes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we need this much money to, verify this. We need this much money to ship you this. We need this much. And it just, for this one and many of them, this one just kept going and going and going.
And this is the author who, after they, I don't see in here whether or not she ever actually saw a copy of her book, but they contacted her later and said, hey, you got $23,500 in royalties, but in order to get those royalties, we need your bank account and social security number, which we don't ask for your bank account, but we do need social security number for taxes.
U.S. citizens.
Yeah, U.S. citizens.
Yeah.
But the big red flag was when they said, when she did give them her bank account and social security number, they then said, okay, now to verify the account that, make sure the accounts are linked up properly, we need you to send us $4,000 to our bank account. As soon as we get it, we'll send it right back to you. But that's how we're going to verify that, everything is correct. And then we'll send you your $23,000.
Also, I want to add that any foreign company does not need your social security number.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, $23,500, they say, oh, we owe you this money, but we need you to send us $4,000 first. And that was when she realized she was getting scammed.
And she told them, then he said that she'd start getting the royalties. She explained that she didn't have that money to transfer. And then he said that you have to. Mm-hmm. And then basically started coercing me like he's a kidnapper, giving me an ultimatum, saying you better or else you're going to regret it. He said you'll lose your website and books and your money and your social security number and your name, which basically they're
threatening to unleash
her information.
Web. Yeah, right.
Yep. And gave her a deadline, which was a national holiday, so the banks wouldn't be open anyway. She told them that, and they said, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Get us the money.
Yep.
So suddenly the mask came off and it was all about give us. Once they had her social and her bank information, they basically just quit being a polite, quote, publishing company and just flat out turned to blackmail to get her $4,000.
They knew that she knew at that time that she was getting scammed. Mm-hmm. And then they were trying to frighten her into sending them more money by threatening to share or sell or whatever her personal information.
And after she sent you that that email and you talked to her a little bit, she sent you another one. Here's where this is where it shows the emotional part of this, what it does to people. So she writes you saying, oh, Lord, have mercy. I need help, so much help. I have sent lots of money for publishing, webpage, everything for my books. Oh, my gosh, Lord, have mercy. They even have my Social Security number. I went through my emails and tallied the receipts. $12,324 from January 2025 to present.
And that was in June.
Yeah. Now, $12,000.
I want to point out that she and I exchanged numerous emails.
Yeah.
Up until the last email we exchanged where I finally got her attention, she still believed that they had the $23,500 in unpaid royalties that they owed her. And she said, I'm just going to have to forego that. I'm just never going to get it. And I told her, you don't have any royalties.
Again, that's the emotional thing playing on you. If you don't put your emotions aside, you won't be thinking straight. And she actually still believes she had $23,000 coming her way. Mm-hmm. And when you publish with us, we have a place in your author account. You can go and see the sales you've made. Yeah. So you'll know whether you got money coming to you or not. We don't hide any of that.
Also, this quote publisher, which is not a publisher, they're a scammer, is one of the ones that is impersonating one of the major book publishers, one of the big ones, the big ones in New York. They have one letter missing in their name, and they're impersonating one of these big companies.
Now, this same author was previously scammed by another company, which called itself the Writer's Tree.
TheWritersTree.com. Yep.
And she... And that's where she says to you, I appreciate you looking into the Writer's Tree as well. I think I'll give up on writing.
Yeah.
I could have had my car paid for between the two of them, not to mention I signed up for affiliate marketing and didn't learn how to connect everything, so that was annoying and expensive. So after I get all this debt paid off, we'll just be rich by not paying into these liars.
Not sure what that means.
I'm not sure what that means either, but...
I'll figure out how to make extra money somehow.
Yep. Really appreciate your help. I'm going to change all the passwords. Da, 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 da. So
we searched Writer's Tree and the Writer's Tree, and we put it on our list of scammers on Writer's Weekly. And it says, like many others here, the site was registered in Iceland. There is a company in Iceland that is known the world over for hosting scam companies. This thewriterstree.com has an F rating at the Better Business Bureau. Many allegations by people who were scammed. Several one-star reviews on Trustpilot.
So with 5 minutes of going online and doing a little bit of research, she could have avoided that company.
She could have just gone to BBB.org and Trustpilot.com and looked, and ignoring the five-star reviews on Trustpilot, of course. So, it breaks my heart. And also, I believe this is one of the ones where the victim's spouse has no idea that she was scammed. And this is the second time we've heard of somebody terrified their spouse is going to find out what happened.
Yep.
So, and that's very sad.
So the next one is somebody that wrote in about a Penguin Random House impersonator.
Yeah.
She says, I've seen several Penguin publishers that are unrelated to Penguin Random House. This one, which is penguinpublishers.org, that is not Penguin Random House, have expressed an interest in working with me. After reviewing my first seven chapters, it's questionable whether they reviewed seven chapters, but I have noticed that a lot of these scammers are actually doing a little bit of work and a little bit of research to be more convincing
in
what they tell authors, so they might actually have somebody that'll review your book so that you recognize they know what they're talking about when they talk about your book.
Yeah.
Contact names are da 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 da.
All the names always sound American. Oh, a lot of these impersonators will use actual names of employees at those companies.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And here's the red flag. Their website lists, quote, the American Visa by somebody I can't pronounce.
Jeff Quet as Miko.
As one of their best sellers. When I looked it up, it said this book was self-published.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, just a little bit of quick research, and you find out that one of their, quote, best-selling books is actually a self-published book by somebody that did not go through that company.
Yeah.
And what did you publish about them?
Well, we looked them up in, you know, my 11 list of 11 things. Let's see. Penguin Publishers, penguinpublishers.org. Name and logo stolen from the real Penguin Random House. All those penguin ones have a penguin and the same coloring as the actual Penguin Random House. Excuse me. They claim to be in the U.S., but the website was registered in New Zealand, and Facebook says they're in Pakistan. The website is only 3 months old, and they laughingly claim to have published 1,373 books and have 19 number one New York Times bestsellers and 100 million books sold. Remember, the site is 3 months old. Who would believe that crap? Surprisingly, a lot of authors will.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were committing several violations on our list of 11 items. So, yep, author beware.
Now, if you're browsing around looking for a publishing company, you will find lots and lots of places that are tacking the word Amazon onto their name.
Oh, yeah.
It's always Amazon this or Amazon that or Amazon helpers or Amazon publishers. Or they're not Amazon.
Yeah.
And
most of the scammers on our list have the words Amazon, KDP, or Prime, or some kind of combination of all of them or some of them. And I mean, if you look at the top of the page with the list of scammers, it's like Amazon this, Amazon that, Amazon this, Amazon. I mean, hundreds of them.
And there are several out there that even they're not trying to trick you into thinking they're Amazon, but they're basically playing off the fact that the Amazon KDP publishing process is kind of complex.
Yeah.
And so they'll say, oh, well, you pay us and we'll help you get on to Amazon KDP.
Yeah. And then
when it is complex, but it is made to do it yourself. But there are still problems with publishing with KDP, and we'll explain that in a minute.
Yeah, so these scam service providers claim, "Oh, I'll format your book, I'll edit your book, I'll get it all up on Amazon for you. I'll sign over this, you know, I'll set up an account for Amazon on Amazon KDP for you, and it's going to cost this much money." And honestly, hate to toot our own horn, but I will get far better services that actually get, you know, done.
Yeah.
And for a much better price if you go through booklocker.com versus these. I mean, they're going to take all this money from you and nothing's going to happen.
Yeah.
So
and from what you'll hear from some of these people, the quality of their work is just down the toilet.
Yeah, right.
But they don't care because they got your money.
Can I read the first part? Because I want to point something out about this one. I've been working with Amazon Kindle Publishers. Again, that's an impersonator. It's not the actual Amazon KDP. A gentleman named Harris Adam. Okay, this
two first names.
Two first names, or they switched the last name and the first name. This is a common error that we're seeing all over with the scammers there in Pakistan or the Philippines or India. They don't understand American names. So if you see two first names or a name that looks like it's backwards, huge red flag. So yeah, a gentleman named Harris Adam. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a new writer and paid $999 for editing, formatting, etc. Now, $999 for, say, formatting and getting your book ready for publishing, that's one thing. But
even
when
you throw
editing into that.
Yeah, that's not. That
editing
price is unbelievable.
Ain't cheap.
Yeah.
And $999 for all that plus editing? No. Too good to be true.
Yeah.
She says, which they have been editing.
Trust me.
How do you know?
They have not been editing.
Yeah, exactly. Until you get that final manuscript back in your hands, you don't know if they're editing it or not.
They're not working on it. They're pushing her off while they pitch more services.
We're still
to her
working on it.
Yeah, we're still working on it. But in the meantime, then she says what?
Then she paid $4,500 for 15 illustrations and a website.
Have not seen this yet, she
haven't
says.
Haven't seen it yet.
Because it hasn't been done.
Yep. And she talked to some guy, claimed to be a head of distribution.
And what's his name?
Ryan Clark.
Two first names.
Yep. this is nuts. They picked my book for production of 1,000 copies and want a wire transfer of $6,000. Now, in another episode, we discussed the whole wire transfer thing. No real and reputable book publishing company asks you to wire money to them.
Mm-hmm.
They will have their own merchant page on their website for you to make payments with a credit card.
Always use a credit card.
You know, I would even be a little, well, yeah, yeah. So that's the thing is this wire transfer thing, that should be the biggest red flag right there. That you're dealing with somebody that's shady. I'm ashamed that I went this far. Please let me know what I can do.
So she paid $6,000 for 1,000 copies of a book that wasn't even published yet. She hadn't even seen the edited manuscript. Nothing had happened. They had not done any services for her at all, and they just kept successfully upselling her on garbage. And now she's screwed because she wire transferred the money.
Yep. And think about this. The publisher doesn't pick your book for production. Mm-hmm. We don't tell anybody, hey, we've picked your book and we're gonna order 1,000 copies of it. For what? Where are those copies going?
Right.
They don't say anything about what they're going to do with those copies. Mm-hmm. But you're going to pay for them. Well, why?
Well, a lot because, of them use the fake bookstore sale. Well,
and we're going to get a couple of those. Yeah.
Yeah. Barnes & Noble wants to order 1,000 copies of your book. We need payment right now so we can get that to them as soon as
Barnes
possible.
Barnes & Noble can order your book and pay for it and then sell it at retail price.
How it really
works.
That's
how,
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's see. Have not seen this yet. Okay. So, yeah, please let me know what to do. Well, there's nothing you can do. They got your money.
And then she says, I'm still distraught at the fact that I had no idea that I was going to be a victim of the overseas scam. I actually sat down the other day and totaled up all the receipts that I kept for my own records, and it totaled just shy of $23,000 Canadian dollars. Still makes me think what they could have gotten had someone not contacted me about it and informed me. So she was going to keep spending more and more money, and somebody alerted her to this. The publishing scams, probably somebody online, one of her friends and who knew what she was working with this company and let her know, hey, you need to research this. And she reached out to Writers Weekly about it.
Now, I don't want to make this sound like some kind of infomercial, but here's another thing you can do to keep from getting scammed. Just sign up with BookLocker.com.
Yeah.
Honestly. Been in business 25 years.
Prices are
excellent. We have a reputation. We got great prices. And you're not going to see anybody out there saying that we took their money and didn't produce a book.
And you know we're not in Pakistan because you can hear the slight southern twang in our voices. And, we've been doing Writers Weekly for, 27 years now? Yeah. WritersWeekly.com. We've been exposing scams for all that time. And, again, we have an excellent reputation. The prices are great. It's so frustrating for me that people email me over and over.
Well,
tell me about this. Can you look this one up?
The next thing I was going to talk about is something that we've since we started this latest battle with the scammers over about the last year. Now we've got this new phenomenon of these people that contact us and they'll say, "Hey, I'm thinking about going to this company. What do you think about it?" Mm-hmm. And Angela's gracious enough to drop everything that she's doing for BookLocker.com
and
helping to earn our mortgage and pay our employees and spend a few minutes doing some research for somebody that wrote into us. And then she'll say, okay, yeah, this is a scam. And this is why. A, B, C, D. Look at these things.
Yeah, give all kinds of details.
And they'll turn right around a couple days later and say, well, now I'm looking at this company. What do you think about them? And they'll do this two or three times.
And all of these companies, if you look at all the services, cost way more than BookLocker.
Yeah.
And they're not going to get a book out of it anyway. It's so frustrating because I do the work for free because I always want to help people out. To have these people come back over and over again. Some of them send me lists of 3 or 6 different websites saying, and I'll send them details. Yes, it's a scammer and here's why. Look at this cover. It was published by a different book. The website's only been in existence for a week, but they have, 900 bestsellers. I go through the whole thing. And then I just eventually want to say, if you're not going to use BookLocker,
at least
read my article and do the research
We are changing up how we handle those now. We're coming up with basically a forum response for those people. Basically saying, go look at this article. Do your research.
Yeah, because it's taking up a lot of my time.
Yeah, think about this. And again, we're not a charity. This is a business. This is how we feed ourselves. We keep a roof over our head and we pay our employees so that they can feed themselves and keep their roofs over their heads. And I'm serious. We've been deluged now by, I don't know, almost 100 now.
Authors who want me to do all their research for them. I've already written the article with the steps. I've given them the links, and they still, but what about this company? It's been driving me insane.
Now, you think
and
about...
And I want to be professional and friendly, but I feel like I'm getting taken advantage of.
You think about this. If you, in your town, if you go into some car dealership and go up to the salesman and say, hey, I'm thinking about going over to this car dealership up the street. What do you think about them?
Yeah.
And then he tells you whatever he tells you and say, okay, well, how about the guy down around the corner over here, this Chevrolet place? What do you think about them?
What do you know about them?
How many of those you think he's going to go through before he just basically boots you out of that dealership?
Yeah.
They don't want to stand there and waste their time telling you about every other dealership in town. Are you there to buy a car or are you not?
Yeah, right.
And it's, but since it's email, they think that we, you know, it's just no problem to just keep asking us over and over and over, what do you think about this company, that company, this company, that. And, you know, it's like, it shows a real lack of class.
It does show a lack of class. And it's extremely selfish of the authors who keep doing this over and over again. And I've had to cut a couple of them off. But yeah. Brian's coming up with a new form response to these people because I do have a regular job and I have authors who I work for.
You don't want to get scammed. Just sign up with us. Quit asking us about all these other companies. Just sign up with us.
And
we're not going to scam you.
All the steps for checking out scammers to check out BookLocker.
Yeah.
And you're going to find that that's the best place to go. And yeah, tooting our own horn, but...
But sorry about the rant, but that's one that's basically been driving us nuts, and we're about spitting bullets at this point with folks and just wasting our time with that.
All right, who's next?
Okay, Larry Bergeron, who recently wrote an article for us about his experience with one of these scammers. So he says that, he writes about two scams he fell for. He says, just to show you how much of an idiot I used to be, a few months ago I was contacted by something called Whitman Publishing in Austin, Texas. There is a real Whitman Publishing in Alabama.
Yeah, this was an imposter. Yeah.
Promised to promote him in China and the UK. Now, I would say right there that's pretty much a red flag, because if you're writing an English book, why do you want to be promoted in China? How many Chinese folks you think are going to buy your English written book?
Well, and some of these scammers will offer to translate your book to Chinese, but they won't. Of course, they'll charge you and it'll never get translated.
Then less than a week after he paid them almost $2,000, he was contacted by a gentleman representing 400 bookstores in Britain. Now, here comes that pre-print book order scam again.
I want to point out that as you go through this story, every person who contacted him was the same company, pretending to be different companies.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
Requesting 1,600 copies of his book. The only stipulation that is that he had to purchase them through their publishing site, which was going to cost him nearly $8,000. Mm-hmm. Now, the process for ordering books is you go through your own, you go through the distributor.
Yeah, the bookstores order from the distributor or directly from the publisher. The author does not buy order the books for the bookstores.
That's not how it works.
That's not how it works.
You can buy a bunch of books for yourself and keep them in your garage for taking to book signings and stuff, but you don't order the books for the bookstores.
Right.
Immediately after that, he was contacted by what sounded like a nice young lady, also in the UK, and she wished to buy 40 of his books for her bookstores. But again, she wanted him to pay to print them through her publishing company at his cost.
Yep. I want to point out, this is a BookLocker author.
Yeah.
He's got two books with us.
And then finally, he was contacted by a gentleman representing the, quote, second largest book fair in the world. Is that one that you pay to get a trophy and
no, this
and
is a completely all different one.
Place? Okay, all right.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
In Beijing, China, and again, we don't have to go there again, but, you know, why? Mm-hmm. And they wanted 1,500 copies and would show the books at a book fair, guarantee sales around China. Angie, you know more about book fairs than I do. How many copies of a author's book sell at a book fair?
Usually zero.
Okay.
Okay, a book fair is people walk in and there's thousands of books, and usually just one or two copies of each one. Your book will be surrounded by other competing books. The chances that you're going to sell even one copy at that bookstore are pretty much zero.
Yep.
I have always said, book fairs are a ripoff. They make money for the fair organizers, and now they're making money for these scammers that are pretending to put your book in a book fair. So they said they wanted 1,500 copies they were going to show them at that book fair, which was never going to happen. And guarantee sales around China. You're going to see a lot of these scammers have guarantees in their email. We guarantee your book's going to be a bestseller. Yeah. We guarantee New York Times bestseller.
Nobody can guarantee what you're going to sell.
Yeah, so
nobody can guarantee it.
Guarantee sales around China. He said, I guess I was pretty stupid because I said yes. That cost me $3,000 and I have yet to see a return on my money. Because he paid them $3,000. They didn't print any copies.
Yeah.
They just took his money.
Exactly. Yeah, so it cost him $3,000 and didn't see anything from that.
Yeah.
And then Larry wrote us again, and he got contacted. I almost wonder if they're sharing authors' names.
Well, first of all, we think that these scammers are part of three or four core companies, maybe fewer. And yes, they're having all kinds of their divisions and employees and people. They can just all reach in and grab that database and contact that author and say, hey, I'm so-and-so with two first names, and I've got something I want to sell you. They'll never admit that they're part of the same company, but they are. Yeah.
So this other place contacted him and offered to put him on the Chris Voss podcast.
Which is a real thing.
Which is a real thing. Now, whether or not they were part of the Chris Voss network or
not,
I don't know. But yeah, but that's to get your emotions going. Oh, wow, I'm going to be on a, you know, big time podcast where lots of people are going to hear me. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
These scammers are pretending to be associated with certain celebrities, celebrity authors, celebrity podcasts, TV shows, news networks. Mm-hmm. They're not. Mm-hmm. So they get the author to pay, you know, thousands of dollars to be on this show, and then, you know, money's gone.
And in this case, they did have somebody that clearly at least browsed through his book, because she wrote him all kinds of stuff that was about what was in his book and how it made her feel, and she was so inspired by it, and and you
there's
know, and you said this, and it made me feel that way, and you said that, and wow, that was so profound, and da 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 da, and people need to, you know, hear about your book. He did not go through with that one, thank God, because
who
knows
how
much that was going to cost him.
She was pitching it so hard, praising my book so much, and using my name once or twice in every sentence, got my Spidey antennas up with questions like, what do you want to accomplish with this book, Larry? How did you come up with this idea, Larry? How long have you been walking in Second Coming? How long have you been walking on Second Coming? Working on Second Coming, his book, Larry. What are you going to realize this is a scam, Larry? He added that part. Hang up the phone, Larry.
Now, I was in sales for a while. For a while, I sold cell phones, and for a while, I sold insurance. And one of the things they teach you about being a good salesman is be sure to use that person's name several times. Not with every sentence.
She took it to the extreme.
Yeah. But that is a tried and true technique of sales. That you make sure you keep saying that person's name. Okay, we're about to talk about one of these scammers that are claiming to help people publish their books on Amazon KDP. I want to tell you a quick story. Having grown up in Florida, and I was a cop in Florida, I became aware of a scam that goes on often down there. Roofing is a big thing in Florida because we have the hurricanes and the sun beats down on your roof and stuff. But scammers are big in Florida because there's a large elderly population there. Mm-hmm. And one of the big scams is a roofing scam where somebody will pull up in an older person's driveway with a nice truck with it looks like a work truck. It's got the big toolboxes on the side. Might even have a sign on it that, you know, says so-and-so roofing. And they'll come in and offer a free inspection of your roof. You don't have to pay anything. He's just in the neighborhood. His people are working down the street on somebody else's roof. And he's going to, you know, he'll be happy to inspect your roof for free. And you know, who's going to give up a free anything? And some of these people will say, sure, yeah. And then they'll, you know, climb up and walk around on your roof, and they'll come back down and say, oh, your roof needs some sealant. Mm-hmm. And I can do that for just, and they'll quote some price.
Yeah.
And then they'll go up on their roof with some spray can and, you know, some pump up, you know, thing with a wand and spray something all over your roof. And they'll be up there for a couple hours. They come back down and you're ready to pay them what they quoted you. They'll tell you, oh, well, that was for just 1 gallon, but I had to use 10 gallons on your roof. So now you owe me this. And, they'll threaten to sue if you don't pay them, all this kind of thing. And it turns out that all they did was go up there with a can of water and they sprayed water on your roof.
Yeah.
But it looks like they're doing something that looks very official. It really looks like they're up there, you know, sealing your roof for you so that the sun doesn't destroy your roof and da-da-da-da-da. And a similar kind of thing happens with some of these scammers. Not all the scammers just take your money and run. Mm-hmm. Some of them will produce something for you, but it's often of very low quality.
Or they pretend like they've produced something when they haven't, and they dangle that in front of you and say, but we need more money, more money, more money.
So this company called bookpublishingcompany.com.
I've made a lot of comments on the article where, you know, the list we have of scammers of these stupid names. Bookspublishingcompany.com. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a syntax error right in the company name.
Yeah.
Bookspublishingcompany.com. That's another big red flag.
So they alluded that they were working for Amazon KDP, and they sold her on the Amazon's extensive publishing package for $1,565.
Doesn't have such a thing.
Mm-hmm, which would put her book out to 60 platforms throughout the country. Now, again, when we publish a book, your book goes to lots and lots and lots, hundreds, maybe thousands of distributors.
Thousands of...
anybody who wants that book can go to our distributor.
Across the country. Yeah, we use the world's largest book distributor, and... at BookLocker, your book will end up being on thousands of websites, including Amazon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the big one. As long as your book's on Amazon, that's pretty much almost all you need.
99% of people buy
the books on
Amazon.
The distributor that we use, it'll go anywhere, any book retailer that wants it.
Automated feed to all of their thousands of retail clients, and within 48 hours, your book is for sale all over the globe. When you use BookLocker,
they do everything through a site called Basecamp for uploading.
We're going back to the email from this. The victim. Okay.
So, we use Basecamp. Basecamp is nothing but a workflow program, a workflow website. Basically, it's to allow, kind of like end users communicate with somebody who's offering a service. So we actually use it for our IT people. If we have a problem, we go on Basecamp, we explain the problem, and then it gets put into the workflow, and they'll tell us, okay, now it's going to be troubleshoot. You know, we're doing the troubleshooting part, and then they send you updates on what's going on.
But we don't use it to communicate with our authors.
No, this is just
a thing that we use with our IT people.
But that is a red flag right there, that this is supposed to be a publishing company, mm-hmm. but they don't have their own online messaging system for them to talk directly to their clients. They have to use a third-party program
to just
discuss what they're doing for you. Big red flag there.
Yeah.
He said they were offering a 6-month special for a marketing package that they would do all my social media marketing, website posting, videos, and so on for $6,000, but it would regularly be $8,000.
Oh yeah, they all offer. Yeah, they all say, "Oh, we're going to give you a special deal if you sign up today, right now."
You got to sign up right now because this isn't going to last. And that's what they did. They called her multiple times and said there was a deadline, so you need to pay this right now. And she did.
She said, "So like an idiot, I paid them."
Yep.
Yep.
You hear that a lot from these people. They beat themselves up because they feel so stupid for getting scammed like this.
Yeah.
But it happens to so many people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure we don't even touch the surface because I think most people just don't even admit to it.
Yeah.
He then tried to sell me on a book fair in Frankfurt and one in St. Louis.
And what have we all learned? Book fairs are ripoffs.
they said it was discounted and that they would sponsor part of the fee.
Bull That's BS. I almost said the word.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're not sponsoring. But, well, I don't know how much they were asking for the book fair.
Yeah, they're not paying a dime.
But they are not sponsoring any of your fee. They made up that figure, and they're just taking your money.
Yep.
Now, as I was explaining with the roof scam, these folks did produce a book for her.
A book.
And she says the paper was thin, the cover was not glossy, the colors were dull, the illustrations were misaligned. Basically, it was a piece of crap.
Well, what they do is, and this is rare, very rare, they actually printed a book for her, one book, so they could reel her in.
So they could get her hooked for all these other things.
Yeah, pay thousands more for other things. Yeah. One book, yeah.
So the actual work for creating a book was just to try to string you along to get you excited to do these other things, but they couldn't even get the book right. Right. So, okay.
The next one. Let me do the next one. Page Turner Press and Media. The owners were arrested in December 2024. We've discussed this before. They flew into the United States in December 2024. The feds were waiting for them. They were running a huge scam racket out of Cebu.
Philippines.
Philippines, yeah. They also had a registered agent located in the United States. She got arrested,
too.
Yeah. So they're all in jail. This is about a victim who lost more than $90,000 to Page Turner Press and Media. By the way, there are accusations online that some of this company's employees may have branched off and started their own scam companies as well. So
you learn as you go.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I was scammed by Page Turner Press and Media for over $90,000. They published a few of my
10 books,
but kept asking for money for this and that and to transition me to a traditional publisher. That was never going to happen. Very persuasive. I'm devastated. I stopped dealing with them in November, and I'm out of a lot of money from my savings because now the company's out of business. So nothing.
And what we're hearing from a lot of these folks is, how do I get my money back? Well, I got really bad news. You're not going to get your money back from these folks.
They did find a bank account in the United States that had a bunch of money in it. All that money's going to go to their lawyers, trust
Absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The victims for their legal fees. Back. Yeah, right.
And whatever money's in there, even if victims get anything back, it's going to be whatever
it's
like these class action lawsuits. The lawyers make hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions. You get a check for $2.25
or 25 cents.
Or 25 cents.
I actually got a check for 25 cents
because
years ago
you're part
of
a class action lawsuit with about 25,000 other people, and whatever, you know, award is given to that class action suit is divvied out amongst all those people.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing that's going to happen. Page Turner scammed a lot of people worldwide.
Yeah.
So.
Well, here's another one.
You want to read it?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I found out too late Page Turner Press and Media is what he meant, was a complete scam, that they totally screwed up the interior of my book, pages were out of order, etc. They also scammed me out of money to pay for a non-existent book buyback insurance. Let's talk about that. Okay. A lot of self-publishing companies don't accept book returns. And the reason why is because they use print-on-demand technology.
Yeah.
A book is printed when it's ordered and shipped out. Printed and shipped out when it's ordered. They don't have warehousing capabilities.
Yeah.
Also, in my opinion, and I've written on this several times in Writers Weekly, book returns are a total scam for authors and publishers. When we accepted returns early on at Book Locker, I'm talking 20 years ago, a bookstore would just order 100 copies for an event, whatever. They only needed to order 5 or 10. They would just automatically order 100 every time and then ship back 90. And it was like an author book signing or something. And they didn't have to do that, but they knew they were going to get their money back, so they did. So very early on, we learned book returns were a bad deal. So this book buyback insurance, it's basically book returns insurance, huge scam. If your publisher or one of these scammers is offering you that service, they know that books are going to get returned. Well, if your book ever even gets published, okay? If they thought that those books weren't going to get returned, they would have no need to sell you that, quote, insurance. Yep. It's a huge scam. And some of our legitimate, actual competitors offer that scam service. It's a total ripoff. And it'll cost, you know, anywhere $700 a year or something. Okay, so the non-existent book buyback insurance. I specifically told them I did not want them to finish publishing my book and that I wanted a full refund. Of course, they ghosted me and would not return any of my calls or my money. Almost all these scammers have 100% money-back guarantee on their website. Total BS. No, they don't. You're not getting your money back. Not only did I get screwed out of my money, but I recently found out that they had published the book anyway. Now it's selling through Amazon.com. Again, I attempted to contact them via phone, email, website, whatever. Come to find out the FTC has shut down all of their websites. And somebody's getting money from those Amazon.com sales. It's probably somebody who works for the company who's still operating in the Philippines.
Yeah.
And the only way to have your book taken off Amazon is to file a copyright complaint against Amazon. And at writersweekly.com/podcast, again, I will post a link to an article on how to do that because I've written about it several times. I report them to the FTC. You know, of course, you know, again, there's so many victims. The FTC is not doing anything for him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to do the big one?
Okay. So another victim from Paige Turner. I'm one of the 800 plus writers represented by Paige Turner Press and Media who lost everything of the $44 million. I'm not sure where that number came from, but these people nailed me for over $1 million. It confounds me that I have not yet been contacted directly by the FBI other than acknowledging my participation as a victim. They have three perpetrators behind the PT scam now in jail awaiting trial. It took forever to even learn about their investigation taking place for a number of years. Paige Turner had contacted me as far back as 2017.
Yeah.
The FBI, a scam publishing company is a super low priority case for the FBI, even though they may have scammed people out of, say, $44 million. It's just not that big a deal. They are dealing with other stuff.
It surprised me that they actually went after Paige Turner Press and Media. I think one of their victims probably knew somebody in the government and got some wheels turning. Yeah.
Probably. But, we've heard from a number of people that were scared. They're like, nobody's contacting me. You know, how am I going to get it? It's like, they're not going to.
Yeah, you can report it to every government agency. And we've done
We have attempted to get the government involved in fighting against these scammers, and we can't get anyone to respond to us.
We've contacted numerous different government entities, including our own local lawmakers here in Georgia, because, you know, they're scamming mostly elderly authors all over the country and all over the world. And the actual groups that we're looking at are far bigger than Paige Turner Press and Media.
Yeah.
And nobody's going after them. It's very frustrating, which is so why it's so important that you protect yourself.
Yeah, you really have no other option because, you know, nobody's going after these people. And just because we've learned how to track them down and identify them and know who's a scammer and who's not a scammer, we can't do anything for you.
Yeah.
I mean, it literally, if anything's going to happen, it's going to take a consortium of states' attorney generals getting together and putting something together to basically pressure the federal government to start shutting down websites, talking to foreign governments about going after these people and all, and that'll take forever. And again, we're not even going to get them interested in doing that. It's going to take a Herculean effort to get the government people to want to do anything about this, because honestly they don't care.
They
got bigger fish to fry, like getting themselves reelected. And what do they care about a bunch of authors who, you know, because honestly, how many authors in any given geographic area, how many authors are there?
You also need to remember that these companies are not just offering fake publishing services.
Well, they're that's true. They're scamming all kinds of people.
Yeah, website design, you name it. tutoring for your children. Oh, you know, online tutoring. Just anything that they think they can make a buck on, they will write up some kind of script and start calling and emailing. Oh,
I mean, we know the publishing stuff because that's our industry and that's what we're focusing on. But yeah, they got their tentacles into everything.
Every industry. Yeah. And remember, never correspond with somebody who spams you. It's a scammer. Never respond to somebody who contacts you on social media, whether it's through a group saying, hey, PM me. Never respond to somebody who cold calls you.
Yep.
They're all scammers.
If you didn't reach out to that person and ask for that service, it's a scam.
Yep, absolutely. Now, this is an interesting one because Bruce W. So you've heard about us talk about Publishing Mojo before, publishingmojo.com. Attorney James M. Walsh and his co-author were scammed by them. Well, out of the blue, we get an email. It was November 11th, 2024. And Bruce W. emailed James Walsh saying he was having a good experience with the company that scammed James and his co-author. The company was Publishing Mojo. We think Publishing Mojo had him send us that email. However, his happiness did not last long. On March 17th, so this is 4 months later, the exact same author sent this to Writers Weekly. I would like to file a complaint against Publishing Mojo.
Duly noted.
It's in our files. Funny because we knew when he first sent the first email, we're like, I bet Publishing Mojo told him to send us that email. And 4 months later, boom, he's a scam victim too. I was charged a certain amount for a 3-month marketing plan starting November 14th. As of today, I don't have anything during this time period. I had 6 or 7 project managers. One resigned, 2 are on sick leave, and Oliver Grant, we're pretty sure that's not his real name, stuck away in the dark of night under allegations of fraud and embezzlement. I could never prove that. Or he apparently got a message from another employee who was somebody else whose name I probably couldn't pronounce.
And whether or not any of that is even true, who knows?
It doesn't matter.
It's just, one more excuse not to give him what he paid for.
Yeah.
Oh, well, your project manager flew the coop with a bunch of our money, and we're trying to get things sorted out.
Yeah,
here.
Right.
We'll contact you when we've got something.
But in the meantime, send us more money for something.
Send
else.
Us some more money. Yeah.
He says, "All I want is my money returned, so I can find a new company to help market my book." Okay. 3 days later, Angela, Publishing Mojo, is stiffing me on a dispute response. Now, remember, James and his co-author had the same problem. They tried to get a refund, and it was very, very hard for them to do. They did get a partial refund after we exposed them on Writers Weekly. He continues, "I will only settle for a full refund in order to sign a non-disclosure." Okay, here's the non-disclosure agreement.
We've talked about this before.
We have in a podcast with attorney James Walsh. Don't sign it. First of all, if they're overseas, it's invalid anyway because they're not a real entity in the United States. And that's according to James Walsh. They're going to want you to sign a non-disclosure agreement that's going to make you think that you can't talk about the experience you had with their company. Well, you're going to sign that, send it to them, and they're still not going to give you your money back.
Yeah.
So, yeah. In the meantime, they posted a totally incorrect Instagram without my approval. I'm beyond despair and feel like my hands are tied. Can you or James please help me and give me advice? And James did reach out and give him advice, and the exact same author had previously been ripped off. Now, this is a pattern. Everybody seeing this pattern? Same author had previously been ripped off by a whole other company, expertbookpublisher.com. Expert Book Publisher. And on March 18th, he reported he had also in the past been scammed by Amazon Premium Publishers, again, another Amazon impersonator. And so, 1, 2, 3. He got ripped off 3 times in a row. He should have known from the first time how these scammers work and what steps they go through. So,
and the first sentence in his we're making some light of these, but when you read what they're saying, that they're beyond despair. I mean, think about it. You flush a bunch of money down the toilet, and you have no way of getting it back. That's got to be a horrible feeling.
Then you do it again.
But I get it. Yeah. I get it. But we're not laughing at these people.
No.
It happens once and then it happens again and it happens again. It's like you just you want to try to help these people figure out what they're doing wrong so this will stop.
Also need to remember that a lot of these victims are elderly.
That is true. Yeah that's
they
true.
They are definitely going after elderly authors.
Yep. So the first sentence when he was explaining about being scanned by Amazon Premium Publishers, I don't know what happened. There you go. I mean, they basically were smooth talkers.
He wanted to publish 5 books with them. And after 6 months, nothing was done.
Yeah. I set up the layout myself, but now the layout has been redone and are crap. I have wasted thousands of dollars, yes, thousands, for additional services, which I have not received because the books took 14 months to finish when they were supposed to be done in 8 months. I'll probably never get what I paid for. Guarantee you're not.
Yeah, and again, the books haven't been published yet.
Yeah. The posting on Amazon is messed up. I have asked them to fix it, but after 2 weeks, it hadn't been done. I'm frustrated. I'm angry. I can't get in touch with anyone on the phone, nor will anyone answer my emails. And that's how they do it.
Once an author gets frustrated enough and flat puts their foot down and says, I'm not sending you any more money, bye, they disappear.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Again, this is why it's so important for you to put down that emotional attachment to your book. Check your ego at the door. The world can wait another day for your book. Yeah. Do your research.
Yeah.
Look into these places.
Yep.
If they're a reputable place, there should be stuff online that shows that they're a reputable place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if you're not finding a bunch of complaints, there's got to be something out there.
Yeah.
Okay. You want to read this next one?
This victim lost $70,500 to an Amazon impersonator. Again, there we go again. Now, they don't all use the name Amazon, but many of them do. Enclosed, please find attached what I emailed to the FBI linking on your writing column and to the San Francisco District Attorney, who aren't going to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
The link for the District Attorney on your blog happens to be the Pennsylvania District Attorney. In addition, I filed an IC3 complaint, et cetera, et cetera.
Now, this is where this next sentence, this is not uncommon. I guess SF, is that San Francisco,
yeah.
I suppose? San Francisco,
yeah.
District Attorney's Office told me I need to get a police report from my local precinct. However, the local police said that first they have to try to get a civil suit against the company. If the company doesn't exist, I should bring a letter for the Better Business Bureau and then they can do it. Basically, the police are going to look at this as, this is a civil matter. You aren't happy with the results of a business relationship. So there's no criminal law broken unless somehow you can prove that these people had the intent to rip you off. And that's where the tough part comes.
Yeah.
So, you know, hoping for help from the authorities when this happens to you ain't going to go far.
In the San Francisco District Attorney's Office, when they hear it's somebody in Pakistan, Philippines, or India,
there's nothing they can do about those people
anything.
Anyway.
Yeah. So
it's out of their jurisdiction.
Wasting your time.
Yep.
I was in touch with several attorneys, but they refused to take my case, claiming I'll never find the people involved. And they're exactly right.
They're right. Yeah.
Never going to find them. Your money is gone. It was Amazon Publishing Group,
yep.
Not a registered company in the United States. Not hard to look that up.
Mm-hmm.
However, I see that all their payments are done through outside companies. Now, I'm going to name these. Easy Writing. Now, remember, Amazon Publishing Group, and his payments went through all these different third-party processors.
Yep.
Easy Writing. Technoboxer, LLC. Design Solutions, D-E-Z-I-G-N. The Creative Labs. See, mm-hmm. Globix with an X on the end, LLC.
So basically, this one company is mm-hmm. filtering his payments through a bunch of different LLCs, corporations, shell companies.
Money laundering.
To keep, well, it's to keep the paper trail hazy.
Yeah,
so nobody
right.
can follow where all that money is going.
And he's not getting his money back from any of
no,
those companies.
No. But yeah. all those different companies, and anyone can do this. I could start filing a whole bunch of corporations in Georgia that don't do anything.
Yeah.
You know, I could have 5-10 corporations listed, you know, under my name.
And you can open
and
accounts.
And send money to any one of them I want to.
And you can open accounts at all these different third-party payment processors.
And they're doing exactly that. Is they're claiming to be, what is it,
Amazon Book Publishers.
But they have, you know, five, six, God knows how many LLCs, corporations mm-hmm. behind them. That they own them all, and yeah. they just divvy that money in between those things, and that's where your payments are going. So that when you start trying to build a pattern or a paper trail, mm-hmm. that money's going all over the place. Now, yeah. eventually, it's all funneling back to them, but yeah, that's way behind the curtain.
He'd
somewhere.
Have to try to get this much money back from this yeah. company and this much money back from this company. He sent in a follow up. He said, you can combine Amazon Book Publishers and Amazon Publishing Group. Again, I wouldn't hire any company that had the word Amazon yeah. in their name.
Yeah.
I received yesterday a phone call from Amazon Book Publishers asking me to publish my book with them. I asked him from where he got my phone number. He replied that I emailed them several months ago. I told him that I published my book already. He offered me marketing, which was actually the purpose of the call. I never emailed that company. This goes back to the, if you get spammed, cold call, or anything on social media, hang up the phone, don't answer the email. Just if you do that, they'll go away a lot faster. If you talk to them, they will never stop calling you. Let's jump on the next one. We're gonna get a little long here today. Completely different name. This is actually one we had not heard about before. Another day, another website pops up under another name. They are creating websites faster than we can count. So, thank you, Angela. I appreciate your help. I was taken by a publisher that promised to republish my book. That's another warning. And promote it. These companies say, I know you already published your book, but we can do it better. And we guarantee you're going to sell more copies if you pay us to do it. That's also BS. After sending thousands of dollars in 2022, I have not received $1. The name of the publisher is Proisle Publishing.
P-R-O-I-S-L-E. Yeah, I don't even know what that means.
Proisle Publishing. Many unkept promises, surprising charges, language barrier. That's a big one. If you talk to somebody on the phone and you can't really understand them, run. You have no business hiring a company to publish your English language book when there's a language barrier. Definitely. Oh, and you know, don't even get me started on the foreign editors who don't speak mm-hmm. English who want to edit your book. And unsatisfactory work, I feel foolish for being taken, but want to warn other writers. So we researched them, and this is what we put on Writers Weekly. Proisle, again, P-R-O-I-S-L-E, Proisle Publishing Services, LLC, proislepublishing.com. Website was created in July 2020. F rating on the Better Business Bureau website, several complaints and bad reviews. We were alerted to this firm by one of our readers who was ripped off by them. They're on Writer Beware's list of scammers. That's writerbeware.org, who has connected them to Bilby Books, Christian Works Media Publishing, and Shrubs Publishing. They all have the same phone number and address as Simply Best Reads. Okay, so 5 company names.
Yep.
It's all the same company.
All connected.
Yep, all connected.
You want to tell us about editing service scams?
Yeah, I guess. this is what I just mentioned, where they say, we're going to hire a professional editor to work on your book. And the author, if the book ever gets edited, in most cases it doesn't, the author often gets a manuscript back with more errors than were originally in it. And it's because they have non-native English speakers editing English language books. There's a lot of charlatans on Facebook. This is a letter from somebody. Sorry, I thought that was my note. From one of our readers. There's a lot of charlatans on Facebook. I signed for editing services only to find out that I hired someone whose first language is not English. When I communicated on Facebook Messenger, I was told that I would be assisted by someone who was U.S. born and spoke American English. That did not happen.
Yep.
So, and that's very, very common.
All right, to wrap up this, we've got one last correspondence from an author, and this is basically just telling us how she felt about being scammed.
Then this is what these scams are doing to authors psychologically.
Yeah. I will have to go back and calculate all the amounts my husband works.
Would be.
I'm sorry. We copied and pasted these exactly, so unfortunately sometimes people's spelling is...
We have to edit the spelling as we read.
My husband would be so very angry if he knew how much. He said no to the web page, but I did it anyways.
Uh-oh.
Again, you got excited. Mm-hmm. You thought, wow, web page. Yeah, I can do this because it's going to sell a lot of books.
Yeah.
I got pressured into it hardcore, and it just spiraled into a near meltdown. I nearly shut down. I'm done with writing. I give up. I absolutely do not have the money anymore or the trust. They didn't even send me my box of copies to my last book or my corrected prints of one of my other books. They ruined my faith in publishers.
We're seeing this a lot.
This is the damage that they're doing. People are just flat out just not public, you know, just deciding they're just not going to publish a book because it's too risky.
Yeah. And again, you know, booklocker.com, been a bit 26 year in business in the United States, great reputation, awesome prices. We pay our royalties on time, often early every month to our authors. And we own writersweekly.com, which has been exposing scammers for 27 years. We're completely trustworthy. Just have to research us online. And these poor victims, I think I mentioned this other guy. He said, I know who you are. I've been on Writers Weekly for years. I got scammed so bad, now I don't even trust you. And that's just...
Which is crazy, because we're not scamming anybody.
Right. They just get so downtrodden and depressed.
Yeah.
And it ends their writing career.
And it's sad. It can
all
be prevented with 5, 10, 15 minutes online,
yeah,
just researching the company that you decided to look for. Or, again, easier, that would be Angela smacking at a gnat that's
No, it's
annoying.
Actually a moth.
A moth.
He's
annoying.
Trying to go up my nose. He just landed on the microphone.
Okay.
Go away. I don't want to hurt
But him. Anyway, just do a little research and check out the, you know, whatever company you're looking into, or like Angie said, just go to booklocker.com. It's pretty simple. We've been around a long, long time. We got a great reputation. You don't have to worry about getting ripped off.
We have published more than 16,000 print and electronic books in the past almost 26 years. And again, if you want to do the research yourself, please do. Don't email me asking. writersweekly.com/podcast. The first link under this episode is going to be the link to my article, 11 Steps. Usually you only need to do step one to figure out if they're a scammer. That's all you need. And then that'll give me more time. I got 4 books in the queue that I'm editing right now. So
yeah.
I'm getting a little behind on my editing. And that saved me a lot of time. And I love you if you did your own research.
All right. Well, thanks again for joining us for the Writers Weekly podcast, and we will be back next week with another exciting episode. We hope you've enjoyed this, and actually, we hope you learned something from this.
We hope we've been able to save you thousands and thousands of dollars.
We're trying not to beat a dead horse here. I don't know if people are sick of hearing about the scammers, but if you were to see the correspondence that we get and how many people are getting abused like this and what it does to them psychologically.
Yeah. To say nothing of financially.
We can't bang these pots and pans enough trying to warn people, mm-hmm, just so that you're not getting ripped off.
And we do have the next 2 months of episodes scheduled out.
Yeah.
Don't forget to write those on the calendar.
Okay.
Yeah. And no, they're not about scams.
No, we've got
scams
some
scammers. We've got all
no,
kinds
we,
of fun
we got
stuff
some,
coming.
We got some good guests coming up, and we got other topics. So,
yeah.
All right. So, keep joining us week after week, and you're gonna get some good stuff.
Ooh,
all right.
Wait.
Oh.
A week from Saturday is start time for the summer 2025 24-hour short story contest.
Really?
24hourshortstorycontest.com. Start time is at noon Central Time on Saturday, July 19th. Only 500 people can enter. So if you want
to
play,
if I wanted to be one of those 500 people, where would I go to sign up for this?
24hoursshortstorycontest.com, which I just said like 10 words
ago.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I'm sorry. I'm gonna cut that out.
No, you can leave it in. It's funny.
All right.
It's time for you to make dinner.
See y'all next time on the Writers Weekly podcast.
See ya.
Bye.